Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Oops, I got my notes upside down. Okay. Well, I feel it's a little ironic what the Holy Spirit has me speaking on today, because this is an area that I struggle in. Sometimes when the pastor gets up and he speaks and you think, oh, well, he can talk on that because he's got it all together, right? I don't have all this together. So this is a message for me, as it is for anybody else. So I just want to make that clear. We're talking on compassion today. Now, you may think that if you're in ministry and you're like compassionate, well, I have a degree of it, but, you know, I wouldn't say I'm the most compassionate person in the world. We're all made different. You know, we all have different makeup. I'm not the kind who will really cry with you if you're crying, and I will feel bad for you, and I can be there with you, and I can hold your hand, and I can pray for you, but I probably won't break down and cry with you. I'm just not made that way, you know? But that's not necessarily, I used to think it was a bad thing. I used to think it was a horrible thing, and I prayed, Lord, let me be more compassionate. Lord, let me feel people's pain. And after about a week of that, I said, Lord, I've changed my mind. Take it back. Because, you know, and for those of you who can do that, that is a wonderful thing. But it's hard. It's hard to do. So some of us have to work at the compassion thing. We do. And so for those of you, my fellow people who might have to work in this area, you're not alone. Okay? Compassion is something that we can work on and we can get better at. And that's what I want to talk to you guys about today. And my first picture up here will explain why I have an issue with compassion. Because anybody who's going to hang off of a cliff and falls, I don't feel sorry for you. I mean, really, look at that. Is that not scary? And that takes quite a bit of trust if she's ever going to reach up and take that guy's hand up there, you know. But, you know, compassion, that's one reason some of us do struggle with it. Because how many of you know that a lot of times when people get into a bad spot, they got into a bad spot because of their decisions sometimes. And then we have a hard time feeling sorry for that. It just is. So I would feel sorry for her to a degree if she fell off the cliff. But part of me would think, why did you climb it in the first place? But if you go on to the next picture, here is a man, you know what, seeing somebody in need on the street and bring her or him something to drink. Does that take a lot of work? No. It doesn't take a lot of work. It's not hard. It's something we can all do. All of us could do something like this. The next slide. Give somebody a hug. Right? I can give somebody a hug. You can give somebody a hug. People who are hurting, sometimes they don't need you to fix their problem. I'm a fixer, and I've had to learn that when you come to me with a problem, I don't start telling you how to fix it. Because that's my nature. But there are a lot of times you just need a hug, and you just need to hear somebody say, I'll pray for you. You know, that's what you need. You don't need a fixer or somebody to tell you how to do it. It's just a hug. We can all do that. Henry Ward Beecher said, compassion will cure more sins than condemnation. And I think that is true. We just need to be compassionate. We need to love on each other. We don't need to tell each other where we went wrong. You know, well, you wouldn't be in this spot if you hadn't done this or that. You know, they're not going to come back to you anymore. That will be the end of it. You will not have any more people confiding in you if you start doing that. But you know what? Love on them. We can all love on people, can't we? Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. I used this once before. But I did a sermon called God's Wardrobe. The seniors will remember it. Yeah. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This is something we can put on. When you look back at the original Greek, when it's used here, it's a noun. It's just something you put on. We can do that. And if you jump down to verse 14, it says, and it's, I don't have a slide for that, so you just have to take my word for it or look it up later. It says, verse 14 says, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And I think when I was talking to the seniors, I said that's what I call it, the no stink, love. Just kind of spray it all over you. You smell good, you know. It's like the finishing touch. Everybody needs some love to put on, to hold everything else together. Now, Paul says in Philippians 2, 1 through 2, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing. Do nothing. You know what that word means? Nothing. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, Scripture tells us. He came to serve people. Servanthood should be our goal. Placing others above or before ourselves goes against our flesh, though, doesn't it? Goes against our flesh. You know, you ask little kids, what do you want to be when you grow up, Susie? And Susie might say, a doctor, or a lawyer, or some kids may say, the garbage man. You ever heard that? And that's okay. I've heard kids say they want to be the garbage man. That's fine. Garbage man is fine. It's a job, right? But how many of you have ever heard a kid say, I want to be a servant? No. Never heard anybody say they want to be a servant. Because that's not what people aspire to be. But we should. We should aspire to be a servant, right? We had an incident at my job not too long ago where one of my supervisors had put out a memo to her team that said, hey, I usually clean out the coffee pot at the end of the day, but I think we're going to take turns. I'm going to assign everybody a day, and everybody can clean out the coffee pot. Well, good grief. All of the emails that started shooting back and forth, it's not my job, I don't drink coffee, why should I have to clean out the coffee pot? And I was just going to let her handle it and not say anything, but it just got all over me. So I shoot out an email and I said, I'm having a problem with this whole conversation on this email string. I'm not understanding why Lauren asking you to clean out the coffee pot is a big deal. We have coffee for our patients. You are helping to take care of our patients. It takes 5 or 10 minutes to clean out the coffee pot. I myself have plunged toilets. I have cleaned blood up off the floor. I have, you know, cleaned up trash when people leave trash laying around. You're here 8 hours just like me, and you get paid to do paperwork or clean out the coffee pot. It doesn't matter. So I'm having an issue here. So I get emails back. Yes, ma'am. Oh, I see your point. Okay. You know, we'll do it. No problem. Nice. So, you know, people think there are things that are beneath them to do. There's nothing beneath us to do, right? We are here to be a servant, and we are here to help people. In this church, you know, the people who clean the bathrooms, the people who put the toilet paper out are important people. You know, nothing is below any of us. I myself have used the vacuum cleaner. I had to find it, but I've used the vacuum cleaner around here before. So we all have things that we can do, and nothing is below us. Now, when you look back, every time you see the word compassion, when it pertains to Jesus and his activities, it is a Greek word called, I'm going to try to get this right, splanchnizomai. Okay, splanchnizomai. And it means, and this is going to sound a little gross, and I'm sorry, but it's compassion, to be moved as to one's bowels, hence to be moved with compassion or have compassion. The bowels were thought to be the seat of love and pity. And so there are certain things, and I don't mean to be gross, but there are certain things that our body has to do to function and be healthy, right? Can we just leave it at that? There are certain things we have to do and be compelled to do to be spiritually healthy as well. And one of those is compassion. Now, what I've really found interesting about this word, every other time the word compassion is in the New Testament, it's a noun. But every single time it is connected with Jesus, it is a verb. It's an action word. Something is, every time you see Jesus have compassion on somebody, it doesn't end there. It tells you what he did about it. He either prayed for them and healed their sick. He fed them. He did something. It didn't just stop with him. Oh, I feel sorry for him. You know, it didn't stop there. We're going to look at the story of the prodigal son. I'm only going to give you one verse of it. But as you know, the son decided he'd had enough of being home with good old dad. He's ready to go out on his own. And so he wants his inheritance, and he's just going to leave and go his own way. And so dad gives him his inheritance. He goes his own way and ends up feeding pigs and having to eat what the pigs eat because he blew his money on wild living. He had nothing left. And so here we are right now. It says, so the father got up, and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Okay, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he didn't sit there and say, well, Johnny's going to have to come to me after all this stuff, right? No, he got up, he ran to his son, he threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. He moved to his son. He went and loved on his son. He could have just stood there and waited for him to show up. But he moved. He had compassion, and he did something about it. Now, it's easier to show compassion for our physical family a lot of times than for other people. Because we love them, right? We love them. Even when they do stuff like hang off a cliff and they fall, they're our family and we love them. Even though we want to say, what are you doing? We still love them. But Jesus had compassion on the stranger. Jesus had compassion on those people he didn't know. You know, he had compassion on strangers. Matthew 9:36 said, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had compassion on those in spiritual darkness. And we should have compassion on those in spiritual darkness. So many times we get caught up in our own life and we don't give a lot of thought. But we should. Now we have, we know that Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and a lot of people have a different opinion as to how you go about that, right? How do you go about seeking and saving the lost? One time Brian and I were downtown, it's been a long time ago, but we had been at the movie one night, it was a Friday or Saturday night, I can't remember. Anyway, we were walking back to the parking garage, and there was a group of people on the sidewalk, and they were yelling at people, "You're going to hell! You're going to hell. Hey, you with the curly hair, you're going to hell." And I thought, well, is she going to hell because she has curly hair? I mean, what's your basis for this, you know? So I was offended. I thought, this is not how you do it. You know, you don't stand on the street corner and yell at people and think they're going to say, okay, I repent. I mean, they're going to do what everybody else did and run by them as fast as they could to get away from them. It's not the gospel. Jesus never did that. So I told Brian, I said, I'm going to go talk to them. He said, no, you're not. He wouldn't let me. He said, oh, we're going to the car. But But, you know, we love on people. We show them compassion. We don't scream condemnation at them and think that that's going to get their... It'll get their attention, all right, but it's the wrong kind of attention. Matthew 14:14 says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. And what did he do? Healed the sick. He healed their sick. Jesus had compassion on the physically sick. He has compassion still on the physically sick. It matters to him what the fall of man, the effect it has on our bodies, right? We used to be perfect. There was no sickness. There was no issues with our health. But when we chose, our dear ancestor Adam and Eve chose to go the wrong way into sin, it changed everything. But Jesus still cares about that effect. He cares about us. And so if he cares, can we not care? Can we spend time praying for those who are sick? Can we do things maybe for somebody who's physically unable to do it for themselves? Like if you have a neighbor who cannot mow their yard. Maybe they have an issue, they can't be out in the heat and they can't mow their yard, but you can. Maybe you could help them. Maybe you can mow their yard for them. That's compassion if you do that. Maybe if you're a tall person and you're at Walmart and there's somebody in one of those scooters and they say, hey, can you get that mayonnaise off the top shelf? You know, maybe you can get the mayonnaise off the top shelf. That's compassion. This is saying, get it yourself, right? Or I don't have time to help you, but help people. That is a sign of compassion. That is how you can help people. And it's not hard. Matthew 15:32 said, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry or they may collapse on the way. Jesus had compassion on those who were physically hungry. Now, I know that we have issues giving people money. I have issues giving people money. There are a lot of people with addictions. You don't want to feed that. I get it. But can you buy them a sandwich? Can you buy them something to drink? Can you help them in that way? Now, a while back, I went to Whataburger on a Saturday morning, and an elderly gentleman met me in the parking lot, and he said, I'm wondering if you can help me. And I said, well, what's the problem? He said, my daughter is in a hospital in Abilene or someplace, I don't remember. And he said, we're trying to get there. He said, we had to leave in the middle of the night. He said, we don't have any money. I need gas in my car, and I need something to eat. Can you give me some money? I said, well, I can't give you any money, but I will pay for you some breakfast, and I will put gas in your car. He said, oh, thank you very much. So we went into Walmart. He gave his order. I paid for it. His order came up before mine did. So he went out and gave whoever was in his truck, I didn't see who was in his truck, gave them the food. And the lady who was a manager there at Whataburger came over and she said, did you give that man money? And I said, no, I didn't give him any money, but you know, I bought his breakfast. And she said, this is the second week he's been here. She goes, I've given him money. Other people have given him money. She said, his story is not true. Because he's been here panhandling for 2 weeks. So, of course, I got mad because that's my default reaction sometimes. And so he comes back in. He said, okay. He said, what gas station are you going to meet me at? I said, I'm not meeting you at the gas station. He said, you're not going to put gas in my car? I said, no, sir, I'm not. I said, I've just been told that you've been here for the past 2 weeks doing this. And I said, if I see you here again next week, because I come here just about every week. I said, if I see you here next week, I said, and you're doing the same thing, I'll be calling the police because you're panhandling. Zoop! He turns and jumps in his car and takes off. Well, after that, I wasn't looking for very many people to help, you know, because it kind of makes you calloused because you feel stupid. Somebody's taking advantage of you. But you know what? That was bad on me. Because I shouldn't feel that way. I still should be willing to help people. Because you know what? God blesses us when we help people. right? We should still be willing to help people. We should not feel that way. We can still give them food. We can still give them something to drink. We can still put gas in their car, you know. To me, it's safer to do it that way. I'm more comfortable that way. But I've got to get out of the callousness of it. And also, you know, we need to look for opportunities. Look for opportunities. And it may not be money. It may just be a little bit of your time. Maybe somebody just wants to talk. I was praying yesterday and I said, Lord, you know, give me some opportunity to speak to people, to, you know, I go through life with blinders on and I walk, you know, go into the store with a mission. I got to get whatever and then get out. And, you know, it's always boo, 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 go. And so I walk in 7-Eleven yesterday to get a drink. And there was a lady in front of me, and she's just kind of, you know, taking her time. And then she glances over, and she sees me, and she goes, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just in my own little world. She said, I had to get here to get my caffeine fix. She said, I got three teenage boys at home, and they are driving me nuts. And I just smiled, didn't really say anything. And so she moved out of my way, and I go get my drink. And she walks off, and the Holy Spirit said, well, there was your opportunity. Wow. Right? There was your opportunity. So I went, oh. So there was a line to pay. So I went up, and she at this point is not speaking to me anymore because I wasn't very, I mean, I smiled at her, but I wasn't talking back. So she had these big silver earrings that were real cute. And I said, oh, I really like your earrings. And she goes, oh, thanks. And then she starts talking again. But you know what? We had a little bit of chit-chat, and she goes, yeah, I got three boys at home. I said, I hear you. I've got two. And, you know, I've got two sons. And she goes, I'm the only girl in the house. And so we talked for a minute, but I thought, if I had started the conversation back there over the Coke machine, you know, we might have had a little bit more time to talk. And even if it's just somebody paying attention that you've got three kids at home, they're driving you nuts, you know? We might have could have just shared a little bit there. But I was just on a mission, and sometimes we get that way, and we just can't do that. We've got to change. I don't think that this, I know this message is for me, but I feel very strongly it's for some of you, too, that you are probably a lot like me when it comes to this. In conclusion, I have a question. How compassionate are you? How compassionate are you? Do you care that people are lost? Do you care that people are sick? Do you care that people are hungry? I was, we had a rough day at our house yesterday. Brian's little cat got really sick, and he was at work. I had to take her to the vet. And the vet said, you could spend thousands of dollars trying to make this cat better. But she said, she's 4 years old and she looks like she's 20. And she said her organs are shutting down and you want to make her comfortable or you want to try heroic measures. I said, I think we need to make her comfortable and just put her down. So as I'm sitting there and the doctor's administering the drugs and I'm rubbing her little head, telling her it's going to be okay. And I'm crying. And I thought to myself, do I care more about this cat than I care about the lost? Do we care more about our pets than we care about people who are dying and going to hell? I mean, think about it. You have people who are just on the rampage about not mistreating animals, and I'm right there with you. I don't think you should mistreat animals, but my goodness, we mistreat people every day. We ignore people every day. We don't talk to people about Jesus. We don't tell them that there's a God that loves them and wants great things for them. We don't bother because we don't care. Now, if this hits you like it hits me, if you don't care, if you can think, you know what, there are so many times I don't care. There are times when I haven't cared. My question to you is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Now, this is what we can do about it this morning. We can change it. That's the beauty of it. We can change it. We can repent. We can ask Jesus to help us, to give us opportunities. But don't just ask him to give you opportunities like I did yesterday and then ignore it, right? Ask him to give you opportunities, but then look for the opportunities when you're out about your day. That's what we've got. We've got to make a difference, guys. We've got to be salt and light. We think we can come to church and sit in here and love on each other, and that's good enough. And yay, hallelujah, we're going to heaven. And maybe we are, but there could be so many more that could go with us if we would just take a little time. I'm not telling you to give people tracts. I'm not telling you to tell people Jesus loves you everywhere you go. I'm telling you, love on people. Love on people. That's what I'm telling you to do. So if you're like me and you need to make a change today, I want you to move forward. I want you to come up here. I want us to pray together, stand together, take some time in the altars to pray that the Lord will help us to make a difference, that we will no longer be content with walking past hurting people, but we will start trying to make a difference in their lives. So if you're like me, if you want to come on forward, and let's just pray. We can be different. We can make a difference. Oh, Father God. Just take a few minutes just to pray in your own way, and I'll pray over all of us. God, we just praise you, Father. See, oh God, see, she, oh God, 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 see. Oh, Father, I praise you and I thank you, Lord God. I praise you and I thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good. You are so good to us, Father. Help us to be the church you want us to be. Help us to be the individuals you want us to be, Father God. Lord, I just praise you, Father. See, oh God, see, she, oh God, see, oh God, see, she, oh God, see, oh God, see. Oh, Father God, we praise you, Father God. Lord, we just come before you, Father. You see the people who have move forward and said, yes, I want to be different. I want to make a difference. And I know there are those who are sitting back who can't move forward, Father, but their heart is right there. You know who those people are. Father, I pray that you would let us make a difference, Father. Lord, every day I pray that you would help us to get up in the morning. You would help us clothe ourselves, Father. Clothe ourselves in compassion, in kindness, in humility, in gentleness. Clothe ourselves in patience and in love, that we can walk out that door fully clothed in everything we need, Father, to touch other people. Open our eyes wide, Father, to see those that are lost around us. And Father, to love on them. We don't have to agree with their lifestyle. We don't have to agree with the way they act or the things they say. We just need to love on them so that they will think enough of us that day will come when they will let us pray with them, when they will let us speak into their life. It may not be the first meeting. It may take some work. It may take us giving a little bit of ourselves for others. Father, I ask that you help us individually. Forgive us for the time we have wasted. Forgive me for the time I have wasted. Forgive me for the time when I have been what I call hard-hearted towards others. Soften me up. Soften me up. Help me to look for opportunities to help. Help us as a church to do the same, that we will look for opportunities to make a difference in someone's life, just to love on people, Father. Help us to be salt and light. Help us to reach this community for you, Father God. Help us not to be content to sit back and do nothing. Let us not be content, Father. So, Lord, you see these hearts. You see these people who came forward who are saying, I'm going to be different from now on. I am not going to keep going the way I've gone. But, Father, I'm going to be different. And I am going to seek after you with everything in me. I am going to clothe myself with compassion. I am going to take the time to look around me, to love on people, to make a difference in people's lives. I am going to do it, Father, from now, from this day forward. From this day forward, help us to be what you want us to be, Jesus. Help us to be Jesus with skin on. Help us, Father, to be what you want us to be. Father, I thank you for your presence here today. I thank you for this opportunity to get together and to hear your word, Father, and to act on it. Because your word is not any good if we don't act on it. Not to us if we don't move and be obedient to what you say to us. So, Father, I thank you for that. Thank you, Father, for repentant hearts. Thank you for people who want to be like you. We praise you for your presence here today, Father. Lord, I just ask a blessing on each and every one here, your favor to rest on them, Father. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.